Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a great day out there. We appreciate you. We're going to have some fun. We're going to get in some entertainment in a little bit. We are going to talk about the top questions kids are Googling for adults. Got some of that fun stuff lined up for you. But to kick things off, Seth, what we like to do here in the 9 o'clock hour is get into the kitchens open.
We do get in the kitchens open.
I got to load that.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I thought it was already in there. I'm sorry.
I didn't put that in there.
Let's let the audience look behind the curtain here for a second. Now, I will let the audience know that for those that may not be able to catch us on the FM right now, we are moving our tower. You're streaming us or you're listening to us on
the AM. The old school. We're going old school today.
It does have that old school feel to it today. Yeah, it does. It's kind of fun. But we've also got a lot of moving parts going on right now and everything. Yep. So it kind of works out. Yep. We have a best of segment for you right now that we put together. Are you and Beth put together?
Yeah. So Beth took Mother's Day off. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been working hard on this. So we're actually going back to pretty much the very beginning on this one. We pulled an oldie goldie with Melissa and Beth together on a show from 2022, back when the show was very, very new. It's kind of fun to go back and check these shows out every now and then, everybody. So we're going to play that one for you. You had it up there. You did. So TKO. You were exactly right.
I was doing it right. I didn't believe I did.
It's that first one right there on the top on the left there. Yep, put that in the thing there. There we go. So yeah, here you go. We've got a Kitchens Open from 2022.
We're going to dive into this interesting study that was published in the Washington Post. Two guys from Georgia Tech did this. They're Cleo Andres and Xiaofeng Lang. I'm probably slaughtered his name, so sorry.
Did it better than I could.
But we're going to look at the most common restaurant cuisine in each state in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And some of the categories that were in here are kind of interesting and challenging to figure out really what it means. But things like fast food, Hawaiian, Italian, Mexican, pizza, pub, seafood.
And some of that they didn't include that you would think are common cuisines in the U.S. are American bar or cafe, and they didn't include those as possible cuisine types.
I wonder if part of that is because we can't really define what is American. You know, what is bar food?
Well, and I think they included pub as because pubs typically have a strong focus on food.
Right, as opposed to bars where sometimes you just get snacky kind of stuff.
Right, and that are more about the alcohol.
Right. So, believe it or not, Asian was popular in two states, but it's kind of surprising what two states would be Asian, you know, because I have my ideas of where there would be like Chinatowns and things like that, and you would think that's where it would be. But the two states that have Asian as the most popular food are Washington and Alaska.
I mean, geographically, they're not terribly far apart.
This is true.
And I don't know if it's because of a rise in population or just that's where the good restaurants are.
Right. And who knows what influences came into those states, but those are just not the ones that you would think of automatically. You know, I would go to like California, you would think might have a high Asian population that you would see that as one of the major foods, but that's not what happened.
No. And it doesn't separate what type of Asian, you know.
This is true.
There's a lot of different varieties.
Could be Korean, it could be, you know, Chinese, Japanese.
Thai.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was a pretty small study.
Yes.
So the next one is going to be also very controversial. Mm-hmm. Fast food.
Right.
What is fast food?
And how fast does it have to be fast food?
Right, exactly. So it was mostly concentrated in the South with Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have two outliers.
Yeah.
Idaho and Utah.
Huh. I wonder why those two were so into that.
I'm not sure. And then also the debate, what is fast food?
Right.
Are we talking just like your big chains, Burger King, Arby's, Hardee's?
Maybe it could be Popeyes. We didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or do they include things like Qdoba? Don't they have a drive-thru?
They do. They do. So, you know, it could be, who knows what they were defining as fast food. But, it's an interesting study to do that. And then, you know, what? There was only one state where Hawaiian was the top food.
Gee, I wonder where that is.
It was Hawaii, believe it or not. Go figure. Hawaiians love Hawaiian food. But I have to admit, as a visitor to Hawaii, I loved Hawaiian food. I don't know why we don't have more of that in the continental United States.
There was some debate, too, because I was reading in the thread about, well, what are they talking about when they're saying Hawaiian food?
This is true.
And I think the consensus was the food that most Hawaiians eat.
Okay. So things like poi.
Like the Hawaiian plate.
Yeah.
Which can include anything like fried rice. What was the other? I mean, spam.
Mm-hmm. Spam.
Often served there.
And they have a variety of spam there that you don't have in the continental United States.
You can't find that here.
No.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So
but
maybe we need to get
influence,
that. Go ahead.
A lot of the influences there with their food are actually Asian.
It is true. So I wonder if that could be considered part of that Asian. But they defined it as its own, and that's where it was popular.
Yeah. So now let's delve into Italian. I don't think James is going to be surprised by this. The two states that was the most popular is New York and New Jersey.
Yeah. But that we have to point out that Italian did not include pizza. Mm-hmm. That they decided pizza was going to be its own one.
Its own separate thing.
Yeah. So,
although most Italian places do serve pizza.
It is true. Mm-hmm. And those are usually where you get your best pizza. So I wonder if some of that was crossover as well.
Mm-hmm.
Never can tell. Mm-hmm. And then, again, not surprising, the areas that would have the most Mexican areas are in the Southwest, Arkansas to California, with Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, and Nevada all preferring Mexican restaurants.
And that doesn't surprise me at all.
No. You've got that wonderful crossover with some Tex-Mex stuff as well, so that you can get that blend and flavor.
And then just authentic cooking of the food. So it's always going to be better.
Yeah. And it's its own category. So I don't know if that was included in fast food or not, because this sounds like it's the more authentic, like tamales and the cultural Mexican food that you would get from the immigrants that would immigrate up from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Some of the best Mexican food I've had is from people that moved or immigrated from Mexico.
Mm-hmm. It's the authenticity really makes a difference in the flavors that you have as well, because they use spices down there that we don't use in American Mexican food.
Well, and think about the recipes that were handed down throughout your family that you're not going to find necessarily in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Made with love, too. Love adds an extra flavor to food.
Yes, it does.
So we talked about Italian food, and then we mentioned that pizza wasn't a part of it. So where is pizza popular?
So pizza, not surprisingly, is popular in the Middle Eastern states with Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island.
Yeah. It's interesting that it doesn't surprise me that Illinois is in there. I mean, Pizzeria Uno, so there's a different styles of pizza, too. And I wonder, could you look at the diversity of states there, which kind of pizza are they talking about? Is it Italian style, you know, Chicago style? Is it New York style?
Did it include Domino's and pizza, like Pizza Hut?
Exactly.
Or those fast food restaurants?
Exactly. So, good study. Still some questions about what the results are. Yeah. And then you've got the pub food that we were talking about. And I think pub food, I think of like pretzels and like a good juicy burger kind of thing.
Right. And what we would typically call bar food.
Right. But they call it pub food. So
In this study.
And that was popular in the upper Midwest. Places like here in Wisconsin, that's where it was popular. Minnesota, Iowa, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Montana, Wyoming, and Oregon. The only outlier with this was Vermont. Loves its pub food. And I wonder if the types of pub food that is served is different there than it is here in the Midwest.
Well, and I wonder, too, if that's actually the only state where pub makes sense.
True. True, it could be. And they probably are able to figure out ways to creatively utilize some of the things that they can get there that we can't get here, like fresh seafood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that takes us right into seafood, Beth.
Mm.
So the two states where that was most popular, Louisiana and Maine.
Yeah. You got the Gulf and you got the coast. Yeah.
Yep. So this is where the reading into the comments, there was, like we mentioned, a lot mm-hmm. of speculation on whether this was really all that great of a study. And some people chimed in about the fast food and if that's really a food category, why Italian and pizza were separate. And do any of us actually refer to a bar as a pub?
That's true. You know, in some places it's interchangeable. In other places, it's very different.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, there was another article in the Washington Post, and it showed the maps of the most disproportionately popular cuisines in each state. And there were kind of a few surprises in there.
Mm-hmm. So it's fun to look at the map because it's a lot different than the first one where it's just talking about categories of food.
Mm-hmm.
This one really kind of dug into it. So the ones that weren't surprising were Tex-Mex in Texas, Mexican in New Mexico and Arizona, steak everywhere from Montana to Nebraska, Cajun in Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
and then Southern in like most of the Southern states. All of those ones that we listed off as fast food,
mm-hmm.
in this study, Southern was disproportionately the most popular food.
That's right. And some were not as surprising. You know, the ones that, there were some that kind of went, huh, in North Dakota? It's German food. So, you know, coming from the Penn Dutch area, it's like, how are they defining German? Is it schnitzel? It, you know, you could also say that there's some Norwegian food that would be popular in North Dakota. They do lutefisk. They still do lutefisk out there. So why would German be more disproportionately popular? Other ones are Pakistani in Illinois. And I'm wondering if there's a huge immigrant population there that has helped that up, and gluten-free in Colorado.
That one makes me laugh a little bit.
And do you believe that hot dogs is the most popular in West Virginia?
Really?
Yeah, in West Virginia. And again, that may be, you know, if that's a good Penn Dutch thing, they never let any part of an animal go to waste.
Oh,
so how else can you use it? Throw it into hot dogs and things like that. In gastropubs were the most popular or the most unique in Idaho.
I had to look up the meaning of gastropub.
Okay.
Because that just doesn't sound appealing to me.
No.
But the definition is a pub that focuses on high quality food.
Ah. Like
higher end food.
So it'd be like going to a fancy 5-star restaurant, but in a pub style setting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I wonder what was Wisconsin's most...
Is it Polish?
It could be. Let's double check. It is buffets. We like our options here in Wisconsin. And that was the same for Iowa. So those two, the most popular cuisines are disproportionately popular are buffets.
All right. And well, another, you know, you can never pass up a good buffet.
This is true. And so I wondered about some of my other stomping grounds. Not surprisingly, mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania, it's cheesesteaks. It's the only place you can get a true cheesesteak is in Pennsylvania.
One.
They came out of Philadelphia, so you got to go there. And you know what goes really well with a good cheesesteak?
Mm.
Pierogies.
Ah.
And you wouldn't think about that. That's a nice Polish food, but there's that's a huge concentration of immigration. So being able to add that is delicious. And then one of my other old stomping grounds, Ohio.
This one I thought was funny.
Soup.
Yep.
Soup. You go to places and you get soup. And I wonder if they include chili in that. Is it meat soup? Is it just plain soup? What kinds of soup? And
does
it doesn't
stew
go.
Count?
That's true. Because it's more of that liquid thing. How about gazpacho?
Mm.
Cold soup.
Yeah.
But those were some of the interesting ones that you wouldn't think about. And the East Coast has a lot of Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
So that was popular in Massachusetts, in New Jersey, in Rhode Island. So in New Hampshire, it was breakfast and brunch.
I like to go out for breakfast.
Yeah. Do they not have a lot of evening restaurants? Who knows?
Who knows?
So these were some of the interesting ones that, and in California, here's where that Asian thing, so disproportionately, it's Taiwanese.
Yeah. Yep. And then you've got Washington with Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm. So lots of interesting ones. And Minnesota, again, buffets.
So it's fun to think about, you know, the different kinds types of food that you can find all across the United States. It's a big place.
Right. Well, and it makes me want to just kind of drive around our area and our state and really see, focus on what restaurants are available. What are the ones that I go to? What haven't I tried yet? Maybe there's something out there that would be different than what I normally would have.
And I have a lot of friends that like to just travel on the weekends. And one of their big things is to stop at non-chain restaurants.
Yes.
Try to find the little mom and pop places where maybe it's been in the family for generation upon generation, and they're making those recipes that were passed down with love. You're not going to find those anywhere else.
Absolutely.
That are exactly like that one.
And those are the ones that are most likely to have those more authentic type of meals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a variety out there. I mean, you can find Indian food. I'm surprised that was not on this list anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah, because to me, that, and we don't have one around here, a good Indian restaurant. You have to travel an hour or more to get to someplace like that. And it's such good food, and it's an interesting, different thing for your palate if that's not the type of food that you're interested in.
Well, and there's such a variety of it, too.
Mm-hmm. And most of these you can have adapted. Like, I know I claim I've got my nice bland palate. So when I go to restaurants that like Mexican or Indian that usually have a lot of spice to it, I actually went to a restaurant in Ohio that asked, well, how spicy do you want it? And they gave, you could give them a scale of, well, I can do maybe a 2 out of 5, but not a 4 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And they'll adapt it for you.
Yeah. That's a very handy thing because I can't handle a lot of spice either. But, you know, my brothers love spice.
Mm-hmm.
More the better.
Yeah. So this is just one of those surveys that kind of makes you think about what is out there, what have I tried, what haven't I tried, and what's popular in different places.
It's interesting to see what is popular in other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm. So go out and explore. See what you can find. And I think the kitchen is now closed.
Hmm. I concur.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a
blast for the past.
Exactly. I really enjoyed that. That was a really good one. Great choice, Beth. Great work by Beth and Melissa on that one. Mm-hmm. And be looking for another edition of The Kitchen's Open next Monday, everybody.
Yep, that's right.
We're looking forward to having that for you. And, of course, to all you sponsors, all you businesses out there, be a part of the team. Reach out to our front desk, 424-1300, 715-424-1300. You'll talk to Pam. Pam will put you in touch with our sales staff and get you a part of the team. Be a sponsor of The Kitchen's Open.
Yeah, it's a great place to go.
I encourage you to do that. And again, be listening next Monday for another edition of The Kitchen's Open.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Some serious comedy to start your day with Seth and James. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Want to get into some entertainment news, and a little later we'll have some other fun stuff for you. Get into our schedule and some good stories of the day. We kick off talking about Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan might be 71 years old, but he has no intention of slowing down. He still does his own stunts, and he'll continue to do so until the day he retires, which he says, quote, is never. Jackie says, quote, when you've done it for 64 years straight, there's no physical preparation anymore. Everything is in your heart and soul. It is muscle memory.
Oh, wow.
Quote, today with computers, actors can do anything, but there's always a sense of reality that you feel is missing. But I'm not encouraging anybody to risk their lives to do the stunts like I did. It's just it truly is too dangerous. So he sees both sides of this.
He does. He does. I guess with age comes that kind of self, you know, examination of, it's like, man, wow, what did I do back then? Oh, my God, that was really dangerous.
This comes from an article from Hot Living magazine. And in that, he revealed the advice he'd share with his younger self. Quote, Jackie, you should study English harder and don't give up on learning that piano.
I love it. I love that.
Always has been himself.
He has.
Jackie Chan has always been himself.
Like, so much charisma. I mean, on the screen, I can't think of an actor who had more, you know, just charm that came off of him. Even if, you know, yeah, his English wasn't great when he came to the United States to start doing movies. Didn't matter. It didn't matter. He was just so good at that, at exuding that, you know, that kind of quiet charisma is great.
Well, one of the more self-deprecating and fun mm-hmm. interviews you'll see, and yep. somebody who has always just been honest about things and yep. trying to learn the English language and stuff. And it certainly helps when he got his. Now he was already a big star in his world, in his land.
Oh my gosh,
gigantic! Yep. But you know, getting his break here in the States late in his life, mm-hmm. I think that helped it a little bit.
I'm sure,
but it's just also who he is, and it's part yeah. of the reason. And I maintain this. It's not to say that you could be a jerk and not have a great career, but I said career. You know, you could be a jerk and have a movie or two or have yeah. a moment or something like that. But you don't see a lot of jerks have careers.
Long careers, yeah.
Like he or as loved and adored as he is, or how yes. much people love to work with him and stuff. And if I understand right, for years, Chris Tucker would just like out of the blue call him just to make him laugh.
You know, why not?
You don't do that for people you don't like. You don't do that no. for good people, ungood people or right. anything like that. And to me, this is what part of why I love being an actor. He doesn't want to retire. He doesn't have to.
That's right.
Like, we're fortunate. We get yeah. to do this as long as we want. Mm-hmm. Most things in life, you have to hang up, and that's a shame. You know, I think that's pretty darn cool. And the fact that he wants to, quote, "I could have used those skill sets to make better movies," as far as speaking English and playing the piano.
Oh, come on, Jackie. And
you could see, so he does his own stunts, but if you ever see Jackie Chan in the movie playing the piano, someone else has
got to play the piano.
Apparently, that from a building is that, not is
that,
him,
that bothers him. Apparently, he wants to do the yeah. piano too.
yeah,
that's funny. Oh my gosh!
If somebody came to me and it's like, you know, I've never seen an action movie. What's an action movie? Watch Rumble in the Bronx, sir, yes. or you know, Miss, yep. or whatever. Yep. I definitely would. That's one of my all time favorite mm-hmm. Action movies. I think it's one of the greatest action movies ever put together, and it's only made all the more better when you find out he's doing his own stunts and all that.
Yes, yes. Or check out some of his early, you know, Hong Kong movies. I mean, they're amazing.
So good.
We never really got young Jackie Chan for the English language movies, but if you look at his early stuff, amazing. Just remarkable stuff that he did.
You can see Jackie in as Mr. Han in Karate Kid Legends, hits theaters May 30th.
Yes. I saw the trailer for that went to Thunderbolts yesterday. Saw the trailer. I had not seen it yet. And by the way, Ralph Macchio, how is he not aged?
It's not fair.
What? How is he still look the same?
I thought the same thing.
What, yeah. Ralph, what are you doing, man?
I didn't see that Cobra Kai show on yep. Netflix, but I know that was really popular, and it's part of the reason why, you know.
The movie was getting made, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yes, even the little clips I'd see of that, I'm like, that ain't right. That ain't fair.
Come on, Ralph.
So is that what happens when you take some time away from the industry, or the industry
maybe that's
you
know, what
doesn't
it is.
Give you a chance? The only role you get for 20 years is My Cousin Vinny, because he was in that for people forget he was a rough you know.
Yeah, he was very good in that too, by the way, but
he had a hard time finding work.
I don't know why.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about after The Karate Kid. He had a hard time after The Outsiders finding work. And it was kind of a reach. If I again got this right, the studio fought to have him in that mm-hmm. role because they thought, oh, they're just going to think of what's his name from The Outsiders and everything. Right. Even though he wasn't even then in it that big, I would think Patrick Swayze would have had a harder time coming out of that than he would have.
Well, maybe it was the fact that he looked so young for so long. Maybe this is going to help him now. Maybe this will be a resurgence of his career after this movie. They're like, hey, look at Ralph Macchio. He's looking good. Let's get him in more things, right?
I don't know if that was if that movie holds up or anything like that, but man, the amount of times in my life I still go back and think of that movie. Just the cast and all that.
Yeah.
We've just got an abbreviated entertainment segment today with the kitchens open and mm-hmm. everything, but definitely want to make time for this. The World Video Game Hall of Fame has announced their class of 2025.
You got to do this, man.
We
have to do this.
Even if it was off air, we had to do yeah, this.
We were just talking about it.
Four new games are being honored. Here they are. Defender, a 1981 arcade game that raised the bar on difficulty from simpler stuff like Space Invaders.
Defender is an insanely hard game, but it's pretty cool, I got to say.
It was a really fun game and very difficult. Quake, the 1986 follow-up to Doom, which introduced a 3D engine that's still being used today.
It is, yes. The Oblivion engine, I want to say. Anyway, yes, I can't remember. Is that what it is?
Oblivion the last time I played a game that really focused on that, Unreal. What was that? It was like the last first-person one I played, too.
Okay.
But I remember playing it, and I didn't enjoy it that much, but I wanted to keep playing because of the graphics and the way and just how beautiful it looked.
Very cool.
It
was amazing. Looking, yes, amazing.
Quake, very similar. I like Doom. I didn't really get into Quake, but I do remember liking the graphics of it. And
yeah, it was very beautifully rendered.
GoldenEye 007, which became one of the best-selling Nintendo 64 games upon its release in 97. They're really simplifying this. You can make an argument that that is another one of the consoles that Nintendo didn't work for Nintendo, and then there might not even be a Nintendo, because Nintendo is coming at a time right when that 64 comes out. You've got other gaming systems.
PlayStation. They were a direct competition with the PlayStation.
Clipping at your heels. Yep. Clipping at your heels, Nintendo. And it, without a hit for that console. The consoles are important, but they mean nothing without the games.
Exactly.
If you don't have a hit game, there's plenty, at least four or five systems in the hit video game archives that were amazing systems and ahead of their time, but didn't have a hit.
But failed because they didn't have the games. Exactly.
And with GoldenEye 007, it was the first. It was really the first time that people were really starting to catch on. Oh, we can play these games with other people, and that's the fun of this. Getting to play, which is of course you would look at now. If you're releasing a game now as a game online, which every game is, it has to have a battle royal kind of mode. Has to have an open world kind of thing where people from all over the world can jump in and play each other and all that. I don't care if it's a sports game, a first person shooter, whatever it is, it has to have that, and it all starts with GoldenEye. Really,
it does. And the fact that today there's still a huge community of people that modify the game, it's called mods, you know, the add-ons and things, and build on top of what's there. That is a great example of like one of the all-time great games that they continue coming back to. It it's still considered one of the greatest games of all time.
I don't like Photoshop, and I don't like a lot of the AI art. I don't like any of it, to be honest with you. But one thing I did see, I did kind of like, there's this trend going on right now where they're, I don't know if they're using AI or Photoshop, but it's basically like your typical late 90s living room, and it's nothing special. It just looks like it, and there's a young Pierce Bronson with a controller with a game playing GoldenEye or something like that.
That's
like,
awesome.
I'm pretty sure he never played that game.
I'm almost positive he didn't.
And the fourth game entering the class of 2025, Tamagotchi. The little digital pets that were introduced back in 96.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I haven't thought of those in a long time.
Games that didn't make the cut.
I killed my Tamagotchi.
Yes,
you heard that a bit in the 90s.
I never played it, but I remember those. We didn't have the money for that. No. Age of Empires, Angry Birds, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, Frogger, Golden Tee, Harvest Moon, Mattel Football, and NBA 2K did not make the list.
Mattel Football.
Oh, yeah.
I have two at home. Ooh. I've got my dad's original one. And I got a couple years ago, they remade it, and my family gave it to me because, hey, they'd like this. It's a little different, but it's little points of light. That's all you're doing, and you have to run past other points of light. It's so much fun. It's amazing game.
It's a great game. I remember playing it with my friends. Yep. It's a good one. That's really cool. You have two of them, though. Awesome. NBA 2K should be in there. Mattel Football should be in there. But I'm a little surprised that Angry Birds didn't make it. That was huge.
That's maybe because it's a little newer. I'd say Frogger will get in eventually. Frogger will definitely get in.
Frogger has to be in there, yes. You can see the complete list at their website, everybody. Head on over to... nope, that is not it. Why didn't that? Man, my computer today, I'm telling you. Where did that... Okay.
Is it the... that's at the Strong's Museum, I think, isn't it?
It is,
up in New York, yeah. The Strong's Museum of Play, I believe it's what's called. That's also where the Toy
Museum
Hall
of
Fame
Play.
Is.
Yeah. Thank you. Museumofplay.org is the website. I knew I had it. I just couldn't pull it.
Right there.
It's such a great name for a website.
Yeah, it is.
Museumofplay.org is where you can find the complete list and previous winners. We'll be back after our news, sports, and partner break. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thought this is a good one to get into, Seth.
Okay.
I thought this is fun. The top questions kids are Googling about adults.
Why adults?
Yeah,
seriously, why?
Yeah. I mean, you would think on the surface and everything, the kids wouldn't even think about adults, really, yeah. Let alone Google them.
Or even care, right?
Yeah, right.
Because we know if we were kids again, we wouldn't care. Mm. We would just enjoy being kids.
I don't seem to remember caring much. I'll say that.
Maybe we're looking back at it with skewed vision. I guess.
Maybe. Normally, when someone says, when we say something like this and everything, we're going to go to Google and share. They're going to share a bunch of stats on the top things that, you know, Americans have been Googling about adults. Mm-hmm. But so likely the top questions kids are asking about us.
Okay.
But this isn't set in stone. This isn't for certain.
No, I see.
That it's kids Googling.
They're kind of inferring that they were done by kids, yeah.
They couldn't imagine a kid, or an adult Googling something about an adult.
Although I don't know if we should make that assumption.
Yes, I feel like they are drastically.
Maybe they're taking a little bit. We might have to take these with a grain of salt. Yeah.
I guarantee you, there's never been a kid that had to look up what does LOL mean, but a lot of adults have.
Yes, they have.
I feel like, yeah.
So there might be something here. I guess we'll have to just find out what they are. So,
yeah. Here are the top five questions that they say that start with, why are adults blank?
Okay.
Why are adults so mean? it's the first one. Again, I could see adults asking that question just as much.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess, yeah, kids would make, putting in that specific way, you know, is like, why are you being mean? That does sound like a kid would say.
It does feel like it, yes. Because I feel like at some age, mean turns into unfair or unjust or something like that. But they
why
mean
are you
the
such
same,
a jerk? Yeah.
They mean the same thing,
they do.
Basically.
Yeah.
Why are adults so obsessed with Disney?
Again, I don't know if that's kids asking that one, because that might be just other adults trying to figure out, like, why are you? Because there are some obsessive Disney fans out there. Disney dads is like a thing, I guess, which is kind of scary to think about, but okay.
I feel like I've been asking myself this question since I was a little kid. So I as a kid and an adult, I feel like I've asked myself this one. Not in a mean sense or anything.
Yeah.
It's more so in kind of a third perspective kind of sense of just I wouldn't even say respecting, just the interest I have in the way that marketing works and the way that an industry is able to, or a business is able to stay afloat, or any of this.
Right.
And then there's these things like Disney that it's its own thing. It's its own world.
Totally.
It's its own, you know, and how big it is and how long it's been going on and how it started. It's just a lot there. But even with all of that, Disney, actually, it wouldn't be, I'm not as surprised that adults are into Disney as I am certain other things. The Harry Potter thing. Now, I understand how big it was. I understand the love of it and everything. And there's plenty of people that like the books or like the movies or whatever. But then there's the people that you meet that are like in their 30s and their whole personality is around Harry Potter. I'm not judging any of this.
Yep.
I mean, my God, look at me for one second. I have no right to tell anybody what they should be or shouldn't be doing.
Right?
Yeah. But it is a little surprising to me. It is a little like, wow, I could see myself Googling, why are people so, like, as adult, why are adults so, not kids, why are adults so into it?
Yeah.
The next question, why are adults so tired? It's a good one.
Because it's the natural being, right? It's just to be tired. What would we actually be like if we had gotten enough sleep? I'm almost afraid to find out, you know?
Imagine if you had the energy you did when you were a teenager, you know, as an adult.
Maybe this is all part of the plan.
Oh, I think it is.
Maybe we shouldn't have that energy because we could cause a lot of trouble doing that.
Just looking at the states here, just focusing on that. Mm-hmm. Adults, how work-focused we are, how work-obsessed we are, how all these things. And we barely take enough time as it is. Now imagine if we had the energy of teenagers, how we'd be.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't trust us as adults enough to think that we'd be even more. We'd be more obsessed. With work.
Think of people you know or famous people that seem to have that kind of energy and how weird that looks. Seriously, it's, you know, you see people like that and it's like, why are they like that? That's weird. How do they have that much energy?
Why are adults so condescending to kids? That's a tough one.
They shouldn't be.
No,
let's be honest here.
No,
bottom line,
we should
stop being condescending to kids.
I'm looking at this as a kid Googling it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I agree with you 100%.
Yep.
And that doesn't get anything through, and that doesn't accomplish anything to a kid or an adult.
Yep.
Why a kid would take it that way, I'm thinking of the different scenarios that brings up and everything. Yeah. Why are adults so happy? Sorry. Why are adults always so happy?
Wow, I don't know many. Okay. That's definitely from kids.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
In young kids.
Yes.
Like a young kid asked that. Because now, from a young kid's perspective, you're literally seeing the world differently. You're 4 foot, five, you know, you're four something
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're looking up to everything mm-hmm. in life. And most of the time, as a kid, the things that you're going to are public places mm-hmm. or retail places. And, of course, that's what retail is. You're always nice. You're always smiling.
Right.
I could see some of this.
Mm-hmm.
Also could see as you become in, you get older and older and you're like, well, but I'm not happy all the time. Is there something wrong with me? And that fear.
Yeah.
Because I would say I was in my mid-20s before I stopped asking that question. And I'm not saying I ever stopped. I just got better about asking it. But for the majority of my life, asking myself, what's wrong with me? Why am I not like everybody else? Mm. Was something that was very consistent and really affected my mental health quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I could see, whereas a little kid, seeing this number of angles on this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of we can't help. That's the way retail, that's the way society works. I'm not saying we need to change that or anything, but I do think that that's why mental health and talking about it is so valuable and so important.
It is. And I mean, it may look like we're happy. Maybe we're just really good actors. I don't know. We put on a happy face, even though we're not feeling it.
And a credit to all the people around that young kid who are pulling it off.
Absolutely. Good for you.
I will say, too, I think the older you get, the majority of people realize that cynicism or some of those things only drag out the day that much more, make life that much harder. You walk around all day with your fists clenched, you're going to get in a fight eventually. Like I think you just tone down a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think you soften up. I think that that's something we joke about. I think you just get smarter and you choose your battles more wisely.
Yes. Wisdom comes into play, or it should anyway.
Certainly not everybody. No. I just mean the majority of people.
Yeah.
Why are adults always busy? Well, we got to pay off that that new gaming system for you.
Why are adults always so tired? It's because we're so busy all the time, right? Yeah.
And finally, why are adults always so unresponsible? That's hilarious. That's kind of funny if you think about it for a second.
It is.
Again, because I'm thinking, what happened for this person to go to a computer and type and take the time to, and, you know, we all have thoughts in our head. Like, man,
we do.
Man, why are adults so unresponsible?
Yeah.
Like, you think that in your head, but you don't take it to the extra step of
looking it up, right?
Yeah. So whatever got them to that step, I want to know. I love to know.
It doesn't have an answer. I mean, we don't have for all of these. I mean, we don't have an answer for any of them. So,
well, and any answer anybody would have would vary different from different. Every person would have
from every perspective. Answer. Exactly.
It's just to me, I take a step back from this and I think, well, it's not easy being an adult. It's not easy being a kid. And I think both parties could do a lot better remembering
it's
that.
It's a human thing.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. It's how we try to muddle through, basically, is what it is.
Makes me also want to, like, now I want to mess with this algorithm and just start typing in a bunch of weird questions and see if next year it's all different.
Why do some adults wear diapers?
Yes. It's a great, if I was a kid, right, I would definitely be asking
that. I would be asking that one, yeah. I
definitely want to know. We'll be back with more show. You might not like the answer to that, but as a kid, man, when you really, I got to put up with diapers when I'm little, sure, but I don't even remember that.
No.
At least I'm done with them for life. Wait a minute, what?
Incontinent? What does that word mean?
That's not right. It's not fair. Be back with more show. Little cutoff there.
Yeah. Sean, calm down.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you're all having a good day out there. I apologize, but I just got a message from Randy letting me know he'll be a part of Playmakers today.
Oh, no. Okay. Excellent.
I almost said James and Randy here today. I almost said
because you were reading the name.
Yeah. It's Ron Burgundy in that. I hope you guys had a great day. I hope you're going to have a good day. I had a good morning. We got great stuff lined up for you here at Civic Media. Stick around. We got a great set of great lineup for you throughout the day. And those of you that were not able to listen to us on FM, hopefully tomorrow we'll be back at it.
Yes, so that should be done by today. We have everything up and running, and we can't wait. Our new broadcast signal will be that much stronger, so that'll be great.
Be sure to join us for the Rapids Report. That'll be streaming available exclusively at WFHR.com. You can catch it starting at 2 today. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking to the Southwick County YMCA.
Excellent.
Be catching up with them a little bit. We always appreciate being able to hang out with them, talk about some of the cool things that they got going on.
A lot of great summer programming over there. Yeah.
Mother-son scavenger hunt set. That looks awesome.
That looks really cool. Yeah.
We'll be talking about that and some of the other great things that they got going on over there. And, of course, join us for Playmakers in our new digs. Got our new jersey, our new number. Mm-hmm. We're over our new number now is 105.5. Mm-hmm. Be sure to join us over there from 4 to 5 today. Again, Randy Paul going to be with me. We'll kick off the week talking some sports, but we want to talk to you.
Yes. Call up, everyone. Mm-hmm. Same number, 715-424-2600. That has not changed a bit. So keep it going here. They want to talk to you. You. Yes, you. I'm talking to you.
Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring that hour so we can talk sports with you. Be sure to call up and join us today and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 4 to 5 for more Playmakers. We speak sport. Speaking of sports, we've got our Rafter pocket schedules here. Stop by the studios and pick one up, everybody.
Yes.
Get ready for Rafter baseball throughout the season. We're so excited about that.
We are.
Got a couple other things we're really excited about, too. One of the things, spring concerts. I love high school spring concerts.
Me too.
It's so much fun. Rams has a spring concert schedule we got for you. They got one going on tomorrow at 6 o'clock for grades 6, 7, and 8. Their grade orchestra concert. So 6th, 7th, and 8th grade orchestra concert going on tomorrow over at Rams. And then on Wednesday, they have another one. 5:30 will be a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade choir concert.
Check those out, everybody.
Yep. And then in Port Edwards tonight at 6:30, they'll have their band concert at the Dorothy Alexander Gymnasium of the Port Edwards Middle and High Schools. It's going to be a fun concert. Be sure to check that out, everybody.
Yep.
I've got a blood drive we wanted to tell you about going on as well. There's a blood drive happening tomorrow from 10 to 3 over at McMillan Library at 490 East Grand Avenue. Be sure to check that out. Again, 10 to 3 tomorrow at McMillan Library.
I think that's actually Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah. I'm sorry. It is Wednesday. All you superheroes out there, get ready to donate. We appreciate you doing that, everybody. And Seth, we got something really cool that the United Way is doing.
I didn't do this on purpose, by the way. Speaking of diapers.
Yeah, that's funny.
The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties is having a diaper drive. It started yesterday and it's going to Father's Day, which I think is really cool. They need help getting new and unopened diapers of all sizes and wipes, unscented preferred, and diaper rash paste or creams into the hands of parents in need. Of course, they also accept monetary donations. You can drop all of that off at the United Way offices at 351 Oak Street in Rapids. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. We also put a banner up on our website in order, if you'd like to donate, it'll take you a link to the place where you can do that on the United Way website as well. So if you go to the WFHR website, you can just click on that, and if you want to donate some money, they would appreciate it.
And we greatly appreciate you guys checking out more of the great things that they have at the United Way, uwswac.org. Head on over there, check out all the cool things that they're doing. We encourage you to be a part of the United We Can event, their sculpture event happening with the rafters. That's coming up a little bit later. With so many fun things going on with our United Way. Be a part of that and find out more this Friday when Terry Johns joins us, CEO of the United Way. We'll talk more about this.
Excelente.
Got a cool pet drive we're doing around here. Seth.
Yes, Little Charlotte's Animal Rescue. We are continuing this. We've extended it through the entire month of May, so you'll have till the 31st, to drop off items such as blankets, towels, dog and cat food, treats, toys, kennels and crates, garden hoses, and cleaning supplies, anything like that. Or maybe you would like to adopt an animal as well. Consider that as well, everyone. Well, we have a whole bunch of new locations you can drop this stuff off at, not only right here at our studio, 1690 2nd Avenue South, from 9 to 4, Monday through Friday. Those are our normal business hours. You can also drop them off at both Quality Foods locations, West Grand and Baker, People's State Bank in Stevens Point, Family Natural Foods, 910 West Grand here in town, Aligned Health Chiropractic in Plover, and Mission Coffee House, also in Plover, Junkyard Bar and Grill, and Bow Wow Meow in Wisconsin. Those are both in Wisconsin Rapids. And of course, From the Ground Up Coffee House in Wisconsin Rapids as well. You can drop those off at any one of those places. Big shout out and thank you to everyone who has donated so far.
Really do appreciate you guys doing that. Keep them coming. We appreciate you guys doing bringing all these items to us.
We do.
Quick reminder that this Wednesday, American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin will be up and running from 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church right here in Rapids. All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. Be sure to spread the word about this event. Make sure that all those great individuals know that this event is going on.
And that they are welcome to join. Yes.
Again, American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin, happening every second and fourth Wednesday of the month, 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Excellente.
So a couple that met while playing the game Minecraft recently got married in the game.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah. You can do that?
I guess. I had no idea. I don't know much about that.
Probably
the
game not
Minecraft.
Legal. But anyway.
They met at 13 and now they're in their mid 20s. She's from Oregon and he's from England. The digital wedding happened in March, but Wired just did a story on it. Their avatar stood in front of a digital altar with a canopy and all that. They said getting married in the game made sense for them because, quote, we're living apart our whole relationship. That world is where we live together.
Wow.
He also proposed in the game and the wedding cost $300.
Hey, now, some parents are out there that's like, I want my child's wedding in Minecraft now too.
I love the idea of it going completely the other direction. Yes. Where it's actually older parents encouraging kids to get married in video
$300
games.
I can handle that. Yeah.
All you can eat. All, great. And this one went viral for Mother's Day and National Nurses Week. A hospital right here in Wisconsin, in Green Bay,
ooh,
announced 14 maternity nurses are all pregnant at the same time. There's a beautiful picture up of all of these nurses there.
And, so sweet.
And while they're all excited, they're all happy, I think you could tell in the picture the first-time moms and the ones that have done this before.
Yes, yes.
It's fantastic. It's a great picture.
So, that is such a great thing. Inserts vaguely dirty joke here.
Yes,
so
yeah, there we go. It's got to be somewhere around there. We're all making them in our heads. So
yes, yeah, you know what you're doing. Yeah.
And right here in Wisconsin, in Green Bay, that's happening.
That's really cool. That's amazing. That's a great picture, too. Yeah,
I encourage you to check that out, everybody. It's a really good one. And we brought it up earlier. We kicked off our show with the good story of the day. The mom and son in Texas having the same graduating class.
Yeah,
Kyle,
that's great.
And Brandy Fields got his master in liberal arts. She got hers in business administration. I'm bringing this back up because I didn't get a chance to mention it before. He a master in liberal arts.
Yes.
Boy.
Whatever that's going to get you. Good luck.
You can tell the difference in age where he went to school for that. She went for business administration.
That's
smart. We'll have more show for you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.